If you're a folk music lover and you live in Vancouver, chances are you've been to a show put on by Steve Edge. He's one of the founders of the Rogue Folk Club, and he's been influential in the development and support of emerging folk artists from around the country and beyond. He's finally going to be recognized for his dedication on the national level. He's been recognized locally in BC for all his work. And on the national level this weekend, he's going to receive the Unsung Hero Award at the Canadian Folk Music Awards. I've spoken to Steve on many occasions, always about the Rogue Folk Club and concerts and other artists, never about him. He dropped by the studio to chat about the award and his origins in the whole world of folk music.
It was a nice surprise, I must admit. I knew that moves were afoot to get me nominated, because it doesn't just happen. Somebody has to alert
the
committee. And so I didn't know what was going to happen. But the nice thing about that award is that it's won all across Canada. And I think it's the sixth year of it, so there's only five other people that have got one. But it's kind of an oxymoron, because, you know, once you get the award, you're not unsung.
You're sung then.
That's right. You know, so it's really interesting, but you know, I'll take it.
No kidding. Steve, you know, for all the times that we've talked and the times that you've been on the show, I've never actually got a chance to ask you about how this all started, how Rogue Folk Club came to be, how you became so passionate about folk music. Was it something that you'd always had?
No, not really. I mean, I've always been passionate about music, for sure. But I didn't really know anything about folk music. When I went to college, there was a bunch of guys there that were into that kind of music, and I would listen to that along with everything else. But, you know, there were no lines of demarcation between Pink Floyd and Fairport Convention in those days, you know. But it happened here because I'd got very disenchanted with the music on the commercial radio. And then I used to go to a record store on Granville Street called Phantasmagoria, and they started to print playlists from CITR, which was a UBC station, and it was just on the campus. And then they said, we're going on the FM airwaves. And then the next thing they put at the bottom of the playlist is, you can train to be a DJ. All right. So that.
Had you always wanted to be a DJ?
I think I'd always hankered to be something like that, and I didn't really formulate that idea until I saw the opportunity to get some training. I thought, well, you know, what could go wrong? You know, this'll either work or it won't. But it's going to be very interesting in the process. And obviously the music that they're playing on this station is more interesting than everything else. So it's a good place to learn. So it was a very creative time to be there. And I went through all the training and did all the demo tapes and everything. And they said, well, great, you've qualified, but we don't have any vacancies except for a folk show. Well, I don't really know anything about folk music, so I'll let you know. Now, in those days, I had a gainful employment at Cominco in what's now the Pacific Press building. And I lived in North Van. I'd get the C bus to work, 10 a.m., taking flex time to the limit. You know, I'd get in there as late as I could. And then I would stay way after hours. You know, everybody went home at 5 because I didn't have anything in common with those people. And then I'd stay for another 3 or 4 hours, then walk up to the railway club, see what was playing there, have a pint, and head back down to the C bus and go home. And on one particular night, I was intrigued. Barney Bentall was playing there. I just saw him the other night on Salt Spring. Great. And I thought, well, I know him. I'll stick around. And the Spirit of the West were opening for him. And I had no idea who they were. And when they started playing, I was immediately transported back to my days on the Ents Committee, the Entertainment Committee at college. There were a Scottish band called the JSD Band that combined all sorts of Scottish fiddle music with Woody Guthrie songs and all kinds of crazy foot-stomping things. And I was thinking, this is the same kind of spirit, you know? I like it. And I got chatting with Jeffrey Kelly of Spirit of the West, and he, you know, he was waxing lyrical about all these Celtic bands that he was a big fan of, and you know, lots of singer-songwriters that he knew, mostly from Scotland. And he started, well, I told him I was interested in doing the radio show, and he said, well, you know, I can help you with that. I've got loads of records. I can lend you some stuff. He made tapes for me, all these different bands, and it was great. So we became good friends for a while there. And
so that was the deciding factor then?
Well, it tipped the scale, should we say, a little bit. Mm-hmm. Knowing that all of a sudden I had access to some music that was exciting and that it would fit on the airways. Roughly the same time I got to see Richard Thompson at the Vancouver East Cultural Centre, and a buddy of mine sent me a really rough cassette version of the first Pogues LP. And I thought, well, you know, this would fit on CITR as well. So, yeah, I'll do the folk show. This was, what was it, 10:30 on a Saturday morning. And for an hour and a half. And I'd lugged this great big backpack full of LPs.
From North Vancouver.
From North Vancouver on the bus. No, I was driving, and that's right. I did drive up there. And really heavy backpack. And, you know, I did the show there. It was the most exhilarating experience. It was great. So I was very, very happy to be at CITR. They seemed to be quite happy with me. And eventually that show got moved to a Tuesday night, which I didn't like. And then I managed to get a second show on Saturday morning. And then something else came available. I said, well, why don't you just give me the whole Saturday morning and I'll take it. And luckily...
They did.
So roughly the same time I got laid off at Cominco, which was a bit distressing. And... Oh, I found out I couldn't work again. I was a computer programmer, but they changed all the technology, went from 8-bit to 16-bit at exactly the time I got laid off, and it was like learning a new foreign language. And I found myself unemployable. Huh. So I went to BCIT to try and do some training of the 16-bit, and I just really was having trouble with it. And fortunately, at Cominco, I bought the full festival pass for Expo. So I could go every day. And they gave me a really good severance package so I could afford to go every day and not have to worry about working. So I'd go down to Expo and I'd see all these incredible bands from all over the world and mostly from all across Canada. And I was bullied into presenting Figgy Duff. Noel Dinn, the late drummer with Figgy Duff from Newfoundland, he said, well, you know, we want to do some more concerts in Vancouver. After Expo, we've got nothing. But you've got a radio show. You're going to do it. Okay, I didn't have any choice, apparently. So we did two shows with them at the Kulch in 87, and they both sold out. It was great.
And you'd never presented a show before?
Well, I'd been on the ENTS committee at college, but I'd never actually presented, you know, gone out on a limb to do anything like that before. It was a bit of a shock. But roughly the same time, the what's now Music BC, Pacific Music Industry Association, as it was then, was starting to do some open mics and some showcases, and it became obvious that Stephen Fearing was in another league, but way above everybody else, and he just moved back to Vancouver. So we got together, Stephen and Margaret, my partner, and a couple of other people, and we decided, yeah, we'll have a folk club. But it's not going to be like a folk club anywhere else. This is just going to be what we do, and we'll use the mailing list, and we'll sign people up as members, and they'll get a discount.
How many shows are you still doing now?
We still do 50 a year plus.
50 a year. That's extraordinary.
Yeah, 50 concerts, and we're also now doing the monthly ukulele jam nights with Ralph Shaw, and also there's 10 contra dances a year in there. So that's 70 shows, 72. And we still, you know, try to get involved with Capilano's Global Roots series whenever we can, and... you know, I'm going to festivals all the time and still involved with Shorefest at Sunset Beach, although that might have, our association officially finished last summer. But, you know, there's probably 100 shows that I'm involved in at some point in the course of a year, and it's only been 30 years. It's, you know, it's
That's incredible.
It's quite a few.
Your stamina, if nothing else.
Yeah, well, see, the thing with having the radio show is, as you know, you get inundated with music, new music, and if it gets boring or formulaic or it's just there's nothing there to stimulate your interest, you just, you know, you do something else. But that hasn't happened. And as long as I keep getting excited by new music, I'll keep doing the radio show. And then because I'm doing the radio show, as Noel Dinn pointed out, I have to be the promoter
as well.
You have
to promote as well.
So it's a bit of a vicious cycle, but it's a good cycle.
So you came a long way from a guy who said folk music. Now let me think what that is, right?
Well, as Gary Crystal used to say, it was a four-letter word, begins with F, ends in K, and you can't say it on the radio.
What's it going to be like, do you think, being at the Folk Music Awards, getting an award this time?
It's a pretty incredible idea. I've never been to the CFMAs before because they haven't been in Vancouver, and I don't really want to disappear in the middle of our concert series to go to an awards show, but unless I'm in it, then I have to be there. So it's kind of cool because I get to open for Bruce Coburn, is a way of looking at it.
That's so great.
Oh, not everybody can say that. Yeah. So, yeah, there's a Colin Linden's on the bill. I think Red Moon Road and some other people. It's going to be great. And I'll know most of the people there.
Yes.
Because they'll have all played at the club at some point, or I've bumped it by Richard Flohill will be there, I'm sure.
It'll be like Old Home Week.
Yeah, but in a different part of the country, which is crazy. I do travel around the country quite a bit, but I was at Celtic Colours again this year, the fourth year in a row, and you know, that's in Cape Breton. So that, I do travel around. I see a lot of these people at Edmonton, at the Island Music Fest, at Vancouver Folk Festival, and different places, but to be in Toronto in December was not top of my list. But it's going to be.
But hey,
yeah, it's a pretty darn good reason for going, I think. It's amazing. So I know it can only go once, so you can't turn it down, and it'll be great fun, I'm sure.
Well, Steve, congratulations again. Well deserved.
Well, thank you. I'm not sure if it's well deserved, but maybe not that many people who've stuck around that this long without giving up. So. And I won't give up as long as people keep sending me the good music.
That's Steve Edge. He's one of the founders of the Rogue Folk Club in Vancouver, and he's receiving the Unsung Hero Award tonight at the Canadian Folk Music Awards Gala.